Well, it is good to see everybody in the house of the Lord today. Glad that those of you who are here, man, I'm glad to see you. I know some of you have missed a week or two because of sickness. There's been some bad bugs going around, and some of you are back, and others have dropped like flies, and they're at home right now weathering it out. Pray for your brothers and sisters in the Lord for healing in their lives. But it is good to be with you in this house today. We've got some announcements, some things we want to share, but if our ushers would go ahead and come forward, we're going to worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings today, and we're going to trust the Lord for that. Stacy, you can come join me, honey. Father, we love you and thank you for your provision in our lives. We thank you that you are good, that you care for us, that you see us, that you know all that we face. And Lord, I pray that as we give to you today, that Father, these gifts would be not just an act of obedience, but Lord, may it be an act of worship, an act of trust, a declaration of faith in you. And Father, may your provision in our lives be multiplied as we are faithful to give unto you. And may the provision for your house be multiplied for the kingdom, for the ministry, for the gospel. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Go ahead, guys. You can receive this morning's gifts. Stacy, we've got some things coming up. What would you like to share with us?
Hey, guys. Just some things that are happening. One, Easter's just around the corner. It's going to be here before you know it next month. We're already in the month of March, if you can believe it. And we are asking for donations for Easter baskets. We'll be creating baskets for all of our children, from elementary, our preschoolers, our babies even. They're all going to receive a special Easter basket from us. And we're asking for you to bring in donations for that. So we are looking for individually wrapped candy. We are looking for hardback books. You can even go to Dollar Tree. I found them, and they have books about Jesus. We're looking for faith-based books. It'll tell them Bible stories about Jesus for our kids, things like that. You can get those even at Dollar Tree, guys, little hardback books that we can put in there, maybe small little stuffed animals that we can stick in the baskets, just different things that we can fill those baskets with. So we encourage you guys, bring those donations in and bring them back there to that C3 Info Center. We'd really appreciate it. Couple other things happening. There's a parenting workshop happening for all you parents out there. This is April 25th. There's flyers at the C3 Info Center. We would encourage you to pick these up. This is something that Jeffco United Christians, which we're a part of, is promoting and doing for all the churches in our area. And we'd encourage you as a parent, if you're like, man, there's just times I could use a little extra help. Both of my hands are up with that. I have read many a parenting book in my day, and attended several, actually, different parenting workshops throughout the span of being a parent, which is almost 20 years now, y'all. Can you believe it? My son's turning 20 this year. I can't believe it. I don't look that old, right? All I'm saying is these things can be extremely helpful when you read some Christian faith-based books, go to these workshops to learn those skills to make us better parents, you know. So I'd encourage you, grab one of those flyers and attend that. Ladies Retreat, I've already seen we've got several signed up. I'm so excited about that. Be inviting your friends, lady. They don't have to attend this church, but we would love to have them, your friends and family, and get signed up in the back. That $50 deposit is coming up. It's due, I think. Actually, I think you guys have a little bit of time. I don't want to say, but I think we got like
check
probably,
the due date. There
yeah,
is a due date.
Check the due date on that. But we've still got plenty of time, and that window is open. So we would encourage you, ladies, to come and enjoy a wonderful weekend with us in Branson. Other things that are happening: life groups, events, all those things. You can check out the C3 Info Center to get signed up, or you can go to calvaryc3.com to find out what's happening here at Calvary.
Awesome. Here, I'm going to pass this along with you because anybody struggle with ADHD besides me? ADD? You got some of that going on? You're like, can't focus? I get too much on my platform and I can't focus. So this morning we're going to continue with our sermon on do-it-yourself Christianity. Connecting with Christ, creating disciples, cultivating community. And this recognition that there are certain aspects of our faith that we have to do ourselves, right? It's not just coming to Jesus and then Jesus does everything and we just sit back and, okay, Here I am. No, there are aspects of following Jesus that are active and required on our part. One of the cool things about this is that you don't have to come to Jesus with everything figured out. You don't have to come to Jesus having everything fixed or all mature emotionally and spiritually and mentally. God's not asking you to come as a mature adult. In fact, he tells us adults, and we have a hard time with this, he tells us adults to come to him like little children. And we don't like that as adults because we want to control, we want to have it figured out, we want to know, we want to understand, and we want to have all of the answers lined out before we decide to act or jump or do. But Jesus says to come to him like a little child, and I have recruited an amazing young lady to help me with this demonstration. So, Lily, head on up there. When we come to Jesus, oftentimes we're like this amazing little child, and we come and Jesus is like, come with me, and they're okay. And so he may do something simple like this and say, hop down. He holds our hand and it's all good, right? And it would take a lot for some little kids to get to the place of being ready to do that. All right, so that's good. Now go back up there. And then he comes along and he's like, oh, you're doing so well. Come to me. Yeah. Oh, he loves us and he welcomes us in his arms. And it took just a little bit of a leap. Did you see that leap there? That was impressive, right? Now go back up there. And we're living this life and we're walking with Jesus and we're learning to trust Jesus because he's good and we can trust him. And so all of a sudden, things might seem a little bit scarier. But Jesus says, come to me. Ah. And we can take that leap of faith and know that Jesus is there, that Jesus is going to trust us, that he's going to catch us, and that we can rely on him. Head back up there again. And so we keep coming. And you know what? She would do this all day long because she loves me and she loves to help and she's amazing at that. And she trusts me. Some of us, though, we have a hard time as adults. We get so far, and then the Lord asks us to do something, and we can't see the other side. We can't see what's going to happen. And sometimes we feel like this, that we can't see what's in front of us because God is doing something behind the scenes. And then he simply says, fall backwards. And he's asking us to trust him and to fall into his arms and rely on him even when we can't see. And you know what? This little girl right here, she's not afraid to do that with her daddy because she knows her daddy is going to catch her. Thank you, baby girl. You did a great job. What's crazy, though, is that as adults, when the Lord says, fall back into my arms. Trust me, I'm going to catch you. I need you to do things my way. We're like, I can't see, and I don't know, and how, are you there? I don't know if I can, Lord. And he's just wanting us to come to him like a little child and just trust him and just fall into his arms that he's going to take care of us. And this DIY Christianity stuff that we're talking about, the things that we need to do as individuals, the actions that we take to trust the Lord, to grow in our walk with him, to walk in obedience, or to unlock his blessings in our lives, oftentimes these things are those where God is asking us to fall into his arms, to trust him, to do what his word says because he's good. Right? Stacy and I, in our lives, we have never been rich according to American standards, right? We've never had a year where we broke a six-figure income. Never happened in our adult lives. We've had some good years and we've had some lean years, and we've got people that have asked us, how in the world are you raising five kids on what you make? And I'm going to tell you, it's a journey of faith. Absolutely. But God is good. And, you know, I have people that I know that have even decided we're only going to have one child because that's all we can afford. And I get that, right? But at the same time, the Lord has always provided for us, even when He gave us children we weren't expecting, like the one who just helped me this morning. So we've never been rich by that, but we've seen God provide little blessings along the way, and we've seen Him provide in really big, miraculous ways. We've had unexpected gifts come into our life. We've had interesting opportunities, and we've had not normal work. I mean, for crying out loud, for those of you who don't know, I've done balloon animals for work before, and that actually was one of the best-paying hourly jobs I've ever had in my entire life. All right, yeah. So, I've done some weird stuff. I'm doing sound and lighting installs on the side now, and that is a real blessing in my life. God has always provided something, some way, some means. We've also seen God take care of our things and seen them last longer than normal. I can tell you, in a culture where clothing wears out and stuff goes away, man, there was a long time where I still had clothing from high school and college that I was still actively wearing because it wasn't wearing out. Praise God, right? And to understand that God's blessing in our lives doesn't always mean more cash. God's blessing in our lives means taking care of us. In all of the ups and downs of finances in this life, one thing has remained constant for Stacy and I. And that's, if God is first, then everything else comes into order. But if God is not first, and somehow our priorities have gotten out of whack, then everything else seems to start being affected. Finances get out of whack. Marriage gets out of whack. Health gets out of whack. Family, job, ministry. It seems like everything gets out of whack. When God is first, He takes care of everything. And so this morning, I want us to look at this idea of God being first, of giving God the first. Because there is this biblical principle throughout Scripture that points to putting God first and everything else falling into place behind that. Last week we looked at the miraculous moment when Elijah raised a widow's son from the dead. And we did that to highlight something that God was doing here, that God had done here in one of our own. And we wanted to take a look at a biblical standpoint, but there's something else in that passage that I want us to revisit and look at today. And so we're going to look at that, this idea of giving God, giving the first to God. In 1 Kings chapter 17, that's where we were last week, give you a little bit of background. There's an economic recession going on. Because of sin in the kingdom, because of different things, the Lord had instructed Elijah to prophesy that there would be no rain in the land. Well, in those days especially, no rain meant eventually the water dries up, the crops go away. It means economic recession because people don't have a way to buy and sell. They don't have a way to eat. They don't have a way to survive. They are in a major recession. And so there was this 3.5-year famine of no rain. And at the point of this story, we're about 6 months into that. We pick it up in verse 8 of 1 Kings chapter 17. It says this: "Then the Lord said to Elijah, 'Go and live in the village of Zarephath, near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you.' So he went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, 'Would you please bring me a little water in a cup?' Now, mind you, remember this, there's a recession and a drought. Water is scarce. This is a widow and her son, and the prophet says, 'Hey, can you bring me a glass of water?' That's like asking for couple of hundred dollars. It's like, hey, can you give me a couple of $100? I'm just passing through. He asked the woman for some water. And as she was going to get it, he called to her, oh, and by the way, bring me a bite of bread too. Who is this guy? But she said, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house. And I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die. But Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said, but make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. There's a principle here that we need to catch. And that involves giving God the first. First thing I want you to understand is this, that faith is not always logical. We got any analytical, logical people in the room? A few? Some of you, right? We try to process information logically. A plus B should equal C. And if A plus B equals C, then C minus B equals A. And we can figure it out. Throwing that algebra out there for you. That's how that works. We want to figure things out logically, but faith is not logical. Sometimes logical things happen, but faith is not logical because we are called to believe in and trust in a God that we can't see, a God that we cannot necessarily hear audibly, and yet allow him to direct our lives. Faith is not always logical. This widow has one son and no other family. Her husband is gone. She's got one meal left, and Elijah says, make something for me to eat first. She had to have walked away from that conversation going, this dude done lost his mind. He is crazy. We're in the middle of a recession. I'm a widow. My husband is dead and gone. I don't have a man providing for me. I am barely getting by. In fact, I've just resumed the place. I'm fixing to die. I've got nothing left. I'm going to cook this last little bit. We're going to make the best cake we can make. We're going to celebrate. Woo-hoo! Here we come, Lord, coming to meet you. It's over. It's done. And then this guy going to show up and talk about, hey, make me a cake of bread first. Sounds to me to be about the dumbest thing. Makes no sense. This is where many people find themselves today when it comes to giving to God. How many of you maybe have walked away when the pastor or someone says you should give 10%, you should give tithe to the church during difficult times. And you walk away going, that's it. He's crazy. Church done lost their mind. All they want is money. We're going to talk about something that stings a little bit. There's this principle about having faith with God and trusting Him where, man, when it comes to money, we start doubting, we start questioning, we'll put our faith in a whole lot of stuff, but you start talking about cash, pastor. I don't know. Watch this. God sent Elijah to a widow in a recession. Doesn't make sense, does it? This passage makes no logical sense. Surely there were people that were wealthy that could have given Elijah some bread, right? Surely there is someone else that could have handled things. Surely somebody else could have taken care of him. Surely there was somebody else that could have provided for the widow. There should have been someone benevolent enough to say, hey, there's this poor woman and her son and they've got nothing. Let me take them into the fold. And that's where we want to go. it should be somebody else's responsibility who has better means. And that's where people often go. But God didn't choose to operate that way. He didn't choose to follow logic. He sent Elijah to a poor widow in a recession and famine. Faith isn't always logical. You'll be thankful. I was up later than normal last night because this message, Stacy will be really proud of me. I recognized it was too long, and I divided it into two sermons because I had double the amount of it. This week, I want you to catch God's heart for you. And next week, I want you to understand our heart for the Lord. Faith is not always logical. But the second thing I want you to catch is this: giving opens the door to God's provision. I don't think there's a person in the room that would not raise their hand and say, I would love for God's blessing in my life. I want His provision. I want God to take care of me. I want the windows of heaven to open. I want the floodgates of heaven to open. And I want God's blessing to flow into my life. Bring it on. I'm ready. But see, giving opens the door to God's provision. And here's what most people miss. God didn't send Elijah to the widow for the widow to provide for Elijah. God sent Elijah to the widow so that God could provide for the widow. She was given the opportunity to put her finances in order to receive a miracle from God. You say, finances? This wasn't talking about money. In those days, oftentimes people didn't have money. They had things. And they bartered and they traded. And I'll give you some resin if you'll give me some myrrh or whatever. They bartered with lots of different things. All she had, the most valuable thing she had, was flour and oil. And the man of God walks into her life because God sent him to her to provide for her. And he says, you're going to provide for me because God's going to provide for you. She was given the opportunity to put things in order to receive a miracle from God. And most of us, we never see a miracle in our finances because we never put God in the place where He has the opportunity to give a miracle by doing it His way. The Bible gives us very clear parameters on how to utilize our finances. I get it. Money is important to all of us because, especially in the culture we live in, you're not going to go buy a truck with oil and flour, right? Sorry, you're not going to roll up to the local Ford dealership and be like, hey, I got a couple of barrels of flour and I got a couple of vats of oil. What kind of F-150 is that going to get me? They're going to laugh and say, here's a Hot Wheels. Money's important. In fact, one of the most talked about topics in the New Testament by Jesus with money, because it's how this world functions. So it's important that we know that God cares for us and that He's given us a way to walk in His blessing by doing it His way. Here's an honest question. Why would God do a miracle in your finances if you're not willing to do it His way? Let that sink in for a second. It's like if my daughter or my son came to me and like, Dad, I need $100. Why? Well, because I got stuff I want to do. Okay. You done your chores? Well, no. Have you done your schoolwork? No. Have you done the things that we've asked you to do? No. Did you go to work like you were supposed to? No, I called in because I had other things I wanted to do. Well, why would I give you $100 when you're not honoring the house? When you're not honoring who God is? Why would I bless you for being dishonorable. Think about that. Pastor, you're digging deep. I know. But there's a reason behind it. This topic is for your blessing. It is not for your condemnation. It is for your blessing. It is for you. Because this honest question of why would God do a miracle in your finances if you won't do it His way, it really goes to a deeper question, and that is this: who is God in your life? Is it God or is it you? Because when we don't honor God in the way that God is asking to be honored, what we're doing is we're saying, your way is not my way, and my way is more important to me than your way. Well, who just became more important in the grand scheme of things? You did. Instead of God. So here we have this conundrum. We have this moment where God is wrestling and He's trying to do this thing in the heart of His people. And He's showing this widow, if you'll put me first, there's a blessing that's going to come. There's a miracle of provision that's going to come. But you've got to do it my way. You've got to trust me. And you've got to put me first. And when she did that, it opened the door to God's provision. Look at this. Elijah told her, don't be afraid. He recognized the struggle. He recognized the illogical thought process. This is all you've got. And then I'm going to ask you to give to someone else instead of yourself first. I'm asking you to put God first instead of yourself first. It seems illogical, but watch this. There was a promise, and He said, don't be afraid, because if you do this, the Lord promises that during the remainder of this recession, during the remainder of this famine, your flour will not run out. Your oil will not run dry. You will always have enough. God was making a promise to her in that place that if she would trust the Lord's word, He would honor her. What's interesting is this question, well, why did God have to do it that way? God doesn't have to do it that way. God can do anything He wants. In fact, before He sent Elijah to this widow, God had Elijah hanging out in the wilderness under a broom tree. Elijah was kind of running for his life, afraid. And God told him, He says this. Well, let's just read it. 1 Kings 17, 2 through 6. It says, then the Lord said to Elijah, go to the east and hide by the Kereth Brook, near where it enters the Jordan River. Drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you, for I have commanded them to bring you food. So Elijah did as the Lord told him and camped beside Kereth Brook, east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. Listen, the Lord can provide however He wants. If He wants to command some big old birds to go grocery shopping for you and to show up with some meat, show up with some hot dogs, and show up with some bread, show up with some buns, God can do whatever He wants. He can send whatever He wants, however He wants. But see, God is inviting you and I into a relationship just like a little child, learning to trust their Heavenly Father that He's going to provide in His way and in His timing if we will simply trust Him and honor Him. God didn't need the widow to provide for Elijah. He wants to provide for you and me, but we've got to honor Him first. Did God know the situation of the widow? Absolutely. Absolutely. The Bible says He is the God who sees. He sees you. He knows where you are. He knows what you're facing. He knows what's in your checkbook. Or what's not in your checkbook. He knows what you're going through. He knows the bills that are coming due. He knows the things coming that you don't know are coming yet. He knew her situation. We read later on in that passage, we read this last week, that her son got sick and died. Did God know that was going to happen? Absolutely. Because he knows all things. God knew. And God created this amazing, miraculous opportunity for his presence and power to be made known in her life because she gave to God first. Because she put him first. And because she trusted him, he sent this widow, a man of God, but more than that, he sent the presence of God into her life. The third thing I want you to catch this morning is that giving is the ultimate test of faith. It's one thing for us to believe in God, to say that we believe. It's one thing for us to pray and to worship and to lift our hands and all of these things. But you know what? None of those things are costing us anything. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know the pain in my shoulder. Well, okay. Touche. So it costs you a little bit to raise your hand because it's sore. All right. But there are so many other postures of worship. We'll get into that in another message. But bottom line is, when it comes to giving, that costs us something. Now you're materially affecting me and what I have. And you're getting into my stash. You're getting into my stuff, Pastor. And it's not me, it's the Lord. I'm just trying to share with you the Word of God so that you understand this. Israel had moved into a place in the Old Testament where they were, man, you read the Old Testament, Israel denied God left and right. They did dumb over and over and over again. And I'm going to be real. As a man, I look at what Israel did and I'm amazed God didn't just lightning bolt from heaven, smoke them all, and start over. Just gone. I'll choose someone else. Restart the process. But God didn't do that. God was patient. He was forgiving. He was loving. He was kind and merciful. Yes, His judgment, His justice was real. But His mercy continued to come back. And that's what we find here in Malachi, where the prophet Malachi is giving a word to Israel because Israel has denied God. Israel has turned their back on God. Israel is not working according to their ways, to God's ways. And then they're wondering, why is life horrible? Why are things not happening the way they're supposed to be happening? But they're not walking according to God's ways. And so in Malachi chapter 3, we read this, starting in verse 8. This is the Lord speaking through the prophet. He says, should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you, God? I'm just going to tell you now, if the Lord tells you you've done something, who are we to look at God and be like, but really, Lord? Did I really? I'm going to encourage you, don't go there. Just accept what the Lord has to say because He's right and we're going to be wrong, hands down. All right? Save yourself some time and just repent, okay? Don't fight it. Don't run. Just repent. Save some time and repent. He says, but you have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Malachi is basically telling Israel, telling the people of God, if you'll bring the tithe into my house, I'll pour out a blessing so that you won't have room enough to receive it, and I'll rebuke the devourer. Now understand, because some people are like, well, this is all agriculture. This isn't money. Remember, agriculture was money. Agriculture was a means of trade, of doing business. Because They didn't live in the type of society, industrialized society that we do. They were an agricultural society. So what are the two benefits of tithing? Provision and protection. Provision and protection. God, if God said to you, give me the first 10% of everything you make, then I'll provide more than you can make now, and I'll protect you and all that you have. Would you do it? On face value, that's a pretty simple, easy, absolutely. But the reality is, as Christians, so many people struggle with this. They struggle with the idea of giving God their finances, trusting Him with their money. So let's give a definition for a second. Some of you may be asking, what exactly is a tithe? That's not a normal word. You're right. Tithe is not a normal word that we hear in the world today. But it would have been a normal word in their day. It was a normal word in Jesus' day. Tithe simply means 10%. It's that simple. It's a baseline. It's equalized. 10% of a dollar is a dime. 10% of $10 is a dollar. 10% of $100 is $10. 10% of $1,000 is $100. You just move the decimal point one place. It's easy for us here in America. The tithe is 10%. It is the great equalizer when it comes to giving to the Lord, because no longer can anyone boast about how much they've given to God, because it's not about an amount. It's about your heart and trusting Him with that 10%. It's that baseline. Tithe has been equated with first fruits, with first gifts, the best from the beginning as an act of worship, trust, and obedience. It is an act of material function that declares a spiritual reality which opens the windows of heaven because you've chosen to align yourself with God's way of saying, Lord, I've given you my heart, and I've tried to trust you with understanding your word, forgiveness, mercy, love, all of those things. God, I'm going to trust you with this too. And I'll do it your way. Because I want to fall into your arms. I want to know what it's like to be carried by you. I want to walk in faith. And I want to see the miraculous power of God at work in my life. Listen, this isn't about some church or some preacher trying to get your money. America has done a wonderful job of tainting this beautiful picture of trust in the Lord by casting doubt on people, by casting doubt on organizations. I've watched so many Christians willing to give when they make small amounts, but as God blesses them and increases the amount, they no longer want to give simply to give and to tithe. It's like, well, this is a large amount, so I want to make sure that it's getting used properly, and I want to make sure that this goes to this and this goes to this, and I want to make sure that this is covered by this. And that's not up to us. That's up to God. He's never called us to manage His money for Him. He's called us to simply trust Him and to walk in this amazing relationship like a child with a loving father. That's why we as a church seek to be transparent with our members about our church finances, which, by the way, I almost forgot. In just a couple of weeks, we're going to have our annual business meeting on a Wednesday night. It's coming up in a couple of Wednesday nights. Let me get back up here. I've got it on my notes, March 11th. at 6:30. So that we can discuss finances and where we're at as a church and lay the cards out on the table for all our members to see. Know where we're at, where we've been, and where we're going. You don't want to miss that. There's no church that night. It's just a business meeting, so members, make sure you're here. But we don't want you to miss out on a foundational biblical blessing because someone somewhere did stupid with God's money. Think about that for a moment. Would you want to be the one held to account to God for mismanaging His money? Anybody want to sign up for that role? I don't want to be looking at the Lord in the face and Him going, "What'd you do with my money, boy?" I'm not interested in that hellfire. No, I want to be found faithful before the Lord. And I want you to be found faithful before the Lord. And I want you to know and understand His heart for you. God says in Malachi, oftentimes people read that, and in Malachi we're all like, "Wow, that's pretty harsh." No, you're missing the point. God is trying to call Israel back into a right place of living. He's saying, look, you're wondering why everything is all off, why everything has gone haywire. But I'm telling you, if you'll come back to me and if you'll do things my way again, this is the promise that's going to come. I'm going to provide for you in so many miraculous and incredible ways that you're not going to be able to contain it. I'm going to protect what you have, and I'm going to increase what you have, and I'm going to rebuke the devourer so that he cannot take from you. And then the Lord says this. God is so amazing. Because He tells us all the time, don't test Him. His word says, don't try me. It's a warning. How many parents have looked at their kids and said, don't you test me? But I don't care what you think. Don't test me in this, just do what I said. Those are in the harsh moments, right? But this is one place where God recognizes the fear and the struggle. And He says, test me. Try me. I want to bless you so bad, I dare you to try me in this. I dare you to see how good of a daddy I can be to you. I dare you to put your faith in me. Because I will take care of you. Yes, He does. The Lord promises us. Bottom line, God loves you and invites you to step into a place of trust and provision, walking with Him. This week I want you to see the heart of God, to provide for you and to instill in you a trust for His ability to do so. It is truly miraculous, church. It is truly miraculous. But the miraculous only happens when we step in line with God's way. It makes no logical sense to demand the miraculous intervention and power of God to show up in your life, but you refuse to step in and do it His way. Yes. There's a song about that on the radio. We would not have seen the power of God at work a few weeks ago had the opportunity not been presented. I would never want anything to happen to anybody like that. But the reality is that in order for His power to be demonstrated, something had to happen in order for His power to be demonstrated. In order for God's provision and blessing to flow in your life, something has to happen first for the door to be open for His provision and blessing to flow in your life. And that is on you. That's the part you do. This DIY Christianity, what you do directly impacts your relationship with God. You have more say and input into what happens in your life than you realize. The question is, will you choose to trust Him even with your finances, will you take that step of faith in Him and let Him lead you from there? Where is your heart toward God today? Do you trust Him? Do you truly rely on Him for all you need? Or are you relying on yourself? The Bible says that we're to give generously. People say, well, the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about tithing in the New Testament. You're right, that word isn't there a lot, but it's there. It's also implied and understood that that was just part of who God is. And this principle of putting God first in finance is seen from the beginning to the end. This principle of putting God first in every aspect of our lives is what opens the door for God's amazing presence to flow in your life. It's up to you whether you want to experience that or not. I'm just the messenger, but I'm telling you, God wants to do some incredible things in your life, whether that's for you who are here in person, for you who are watching online. God wants your very best because He has given you His best. And His best came not just in a blessing financially. His best came in His Son Jesus. He is the first fruits. He is the first gift. He is the first because He is the firstborn Son of the living God. And He gave everything for you and I to be forgiven, to be set free, to be right with Him. When we give our tithes to the Lord, we are declaring, Lord, I'm putting You first. I'm setting You up first. I'm trusting You first. It's not about paying God's bills. It's about giving Him your best, your first, your trust, and declaring who is actually doing the providing. Your giving is part of your worship that brings honor to God. And your giving also opens the door for God to do the miraculous when needed, to provide for you in ways you may never even dream. But you won't know if you don't put Him first. Stacy, if you'll come up to the piano for just a moment. I realize this subject is one that it's like, man, can't believe I showed up to church on the day they talked about money. But the reality is this: God's goodness, He's chasing after you. He longs to bless you. He longs to take care of you. God longs to bless you. Will you choose to step into His way? You say, well, Pastor, I don't make a lot of money. It's not about how much you make. Or you might say, Pastor, I do make a lot of money. Great! I'm happy for you. It's not about how much you make. It's about your heart. And it's about your heart being in line with God so that He can be in line with you. This isn't give to get. This is about our heart being right with the Lord. Elijah was considered a righteous man. And he did incredible things, and God did incredible things through him. It wasn't because Elijah made a lot of money. Elijah was broke. He was a prophet. He was poor. He was living in caves and by brooks and everywhere else. God provided for him through other means, but He provided. I want us to wrap up this morning with a moment of worship, because that's really what this is about, is a heart of worship. But it's a heart of worship that goes beyond words and moves into the material. Are you willing to trust Him with what you have, not just who you are? Because that becomes the truly encompassing full aspect of worship. A heart that is willing to fall into His arms and trust Him with everything. And to trust Him for everything.
Oh, Your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in Your hands.
Just worship Him with us this morning.
From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life You have been faithful, and all my life You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love Your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, You are close like no other. I've known You as a father. I've known You as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life You have been faithful, and all my life You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give You everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after. All my life You have been faithful. All my life You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing the goodness of God.
God's goodness goes beyond any doubt, any fear you could have regarding finances, regarding family and relationships. Any struggle that you may face, His goodness is greater. His mercy is new every morning. Say, Pastor, maybe you've not been participating in this aspect of following Jesus. Just start where you are. It's not like you have to backdate or go backwards and make it up. Praise God that we don't have to go back and make up for past sins. God is good today, and His mercy is new today. Just start today. Say, Lord, I'm going to do what I can to honor You and trust You and to fall into Your arms like a little child falls into his daddy's arms. Just make that commitment between you and the Lord. You say, Pastor, maybe you need some help figuring out what does tithe look like for you? How do you do that? And maybe you need some help processing some numbers. You have some questions. I'm pretty good at math. I can help you with that. We can figure that out. Be happy to answer any questions you may have regarding that. But know this, God is for you. He is not against you. And He is waiting with open arms to embrace you and to let you see His blessings flow in your life. Amen. Father, I pray that You would go with Your people today. Lord, may healing abound in the bodies of those who are sick and struggling. God, I pray that You would restore Calvary Christian Center in health. But Lord, I pray that Your testimony of Your provision, Lord, may it abound in the lives of those who take a step of faith, who fall into Your arms. God, I pray that You would move mightily in the finances of Your people. May Your people be blessed. May Your name be blessed. And Lord God, may we walk with joy as we give unto You all that we have, putting You first in everything, opening the door for Your blessing, for Your provision, for Your protection, for Your power in our lives. We love You and give You praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Have an incredible rest of your day. We'll see you back here Wednesday night, 6:30. You don't want to miss it. Our Sermon on the Mount series is awesome. Discussions are going great. We'll see you then.